you, Jesus. Well, we're going into part two of today's teaching on the fivefold ministry, where we're talking about the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, and including women's ministries. And it's my delight this morning to share about the gifting of the teacher. Pastor Jim shared about the authority that we're to carry as men and women of God. And in particular, the pastor should carry great authority over his, not just church, but over his city, I believe. I believe he's the controlling individual over his region as that assigned pastor. Now, I don't believe a pastor is a pastor of a church. I believe he's a pastor of a region. Amen, that God has put under his authority to bring revival to. And so I want to take a minute and just talk about, I was meditating this morning about the fivefold, and I saw a progression of God's assignment on the fivefold to bring forth the fullness of the body of Christ in the manifestation. And of course, the first of those giftings is the apostle. And the apostle means to be one that is sent forth. And the apostle's assignment is to go into new territories. Many times we think of the apostle as one that's assigned to birth churches or plant churches. So many people say, well, I pioneered a church, I'm an apostle. No, you may not even be a pastor. You may have decided you want to, you know, have your own church. But the apostle is assigned of God to take the kingdom forth into new areas. Amen? Maybe taking new revelation forth into new areas. So the apostle goes into new territories. He stretches out into new territories. Then we have the prophet. Amen? And the prophet's assignment is to decree expanded horizons within those territories. He's to see prophetically what that church is to accomplish, what the body of Christ is to accomplish, and even to see prophetically into revelations the body is to step into. Amen. So the apostle goes into new areas, and the prophet sees beyond into those areas. The evangelist, once we've stepped into a new area, his job is to bring the harvest into that local gathering. Amen. Yet the evangelist has an anointing on their lives that draws people to them. Has a gifting just to love people and share the gospel with them in a way that they understand. And that anointing has the ability to make them want to receive the salvation message. But then the pastor. The pastor's assignment, as we talked about, is much involves the gift of facilitation, gift of taking people with different talents, different callings, different levels of spiritual maturity, and to direct, this one needs to be here, this one is called over here, I need to raise this one up here, and to develop and put together a functioning body, amen, that operates as a unit. How many of we must have a pastor? Everybody needs to be under pastoral covering. But I'm teaching on the teacher. The teacher's assignment is to reprogram the souls of all those brought in to raise them up into discipleship, to teach him how to operate as overcomers in the body of Christ. Without the teaching gift in the body of Christ, the body remains in babyhood state. Now, in this meeting today, we've got all five of these giftings represented. But we've got all five represented in many of the individuals that are here. Apostle Callan operates in all five giftings. Amen. I believe the prophet, Pastor Philip, does the same thing. Prophet Philip Derber does the same thing. Many of us operate in multiple areas of these giftings. But on each one's life, I believe that we have gathered here a primary calling or assignment on their life. Now, I believe that you can have a church that may not have apostles in it and be a healthy church, at least a functioning church. You can have a church that may not have the prophetic in it, and you can be a church that can accomplish things for God. Amen? You can get people saved. You can get them built up. You can see people learn to become an overcomer. You can even have a church that doesn't have the evangelist in it. Amen. You just won't grow very far, probably. But you cannot have a church without a pastor. And you especially cannot develop a church without a teacher. Because if you have a church, and maybe it's based on just the apostolic or the prophetic or the evangelistic, You may gather a group of people together, but they never grow into their fullness. They never develop spiritual strength or anointing. Amen? And so I believe the teacher is the finisher of the body of Christ. You know, when you build a house, you know, the apostle might be the one that says, here's where we're going to put the house. The prophet may say, yes, and here's the schedule for it. Here's what we need here at this time, at this time. He's putting together a prophetic declaration of how it's going to be built. The evangelist may be going out gathering all the materials together, bringing in the lumber and the drywall and the shingles or whatever, the concrete trucks. And the pastor's telling everybody how to build it. But the teacher is the finisher in the house. There's a saying that 20% of building a house involves taking it up to the finish work. But finishing is 80% of building a house. And I believe it's the same in the body of Christ. 80% of the work of bringing a body of Christ into fullness involves teaching. And that's why our apostle is primarily a teacher. I sat under Prophet Philip Durber for 10 years. And he can preach the paint off the wall. But when he preaches, even with preaching, he's teaching. And if he's not in that preacher prophetic mode, he's teaching. He's a student of the Word of God. In fact, every one of these speakers today are all teachers. You know, Pastor Sherry, when she was first involved in ministry, she preached like a house on fire. I mean, she start from start to finish. Some of you may remember screaming in the microphone and with all the energy she had and until she was done, she was on fully unload mode until she became a pastor. And all of a sudden, God shifted her into teaching mode. Now, the primary operation she involves in, especially in her church, is in teaching. Amen. The teacher raises up the individual into the fullness of their calling. Amen. And so all pastors are to be teachers. Amen. But not all evangelists, not all pastors have to be evangelists. Not all pastors have to be prophetic. But they must be able to teach the Word of God. I want to cover some of the things that the body of Christ is to do, or the teacher in the body of Christ is to do. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. And I'll review some of what I covered last year. We're going into some new areas. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 28 says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now Jesus, when he came to minister in His earthly walk, He came proclaiming the kingdom of God. And He would demonstrate God's power to heal, His power to overcome obstacles, His power to provide food miraculously. And multitudes would follow Him. And there reached time out in the wilderness where the multitudes came to Him, and Jesus gave His sermon that He gives in John chapter 6. He says, unless you eat My flesh and drink My blood, you have no part with Me. And He ran the multitudes off. He said, you're just here for the free meals. You're just here to observe some things. It's time to learn to apply what I'm teaching. And He basically said, unless you're willing to let Me teach you in depth, you have no part of what I'm doing. And He ran the multitudes off. He turned to the disciples and said, are you also going to leave? And they said, who else has the words of eternal life? Here's the point. Jesus didn't come just to gather multitudes. He came to make disciples. And the assignment of the teacher is to turn a new harvest member into a disciple. Amen? So many churches are based on just trying to gather new members, yet the assignment God puts on the church is to raise them up into the fullness of the image of the stature of Christ. Right? And so the teacher has the responsibility of God to present the Scriptures in a way that can take the church from faith to faith, glory to glory, line upon line, and precept upon precept. I believe the role of the pastor and teacher working together, or the pastor-teacher, is to be able to come before his congregation and see where they are in their level of spiritual maturity. And of course, in any church, you'll have some that are more mature than others. Some may be fully matured and ready to take on their own assignments or having their own ministry. Others may be just newborn Christians. And that pastor has a responsibility to be able to look out on his body, hear God is what they need is the next spiritual nugget of understanding to go to the next level of growth. And then get into Scriptures and find out how can I present this Word that will let them get a hold of this truth and raise them up the next step. Amen. Because unless we're raising up the body, we're not accomplishing what God's designed us to do. So many pastors just want to entertain their body. So many pastors believe that their assignment just is to cheerlead their body. Just to pump them up every week and to... They believe if they can just get an emotional response out of the church, they've done their job for the week. Pumped them up. Pumped them up for another week. Amen. They can survive till next Sunday. Or, you know, the midweek service. And nobody ever grows up in that fashion. They just stay cheerlead till the next, you know, confrontation. But God wants us to learn how to become spiritually minded and move out in the power of God and to function as overcomers. The job of the teacher is to be able to present the Word in a fashion that people get a hold of it and they're changed by it. Now, I've got a list of some of the aspects that I believe a teacher is assigned to do. We just mentioned they're to bring the saints to full maturity. Amen? We're to be wise farmers of the harvest God's brought to us and raise it up so they become fruitful themselves. Amen. This nonsense I hear pastors say all the time, or wannabe pastors. Oh, I just want my nice little congregation myself, have my own little flock to take care of. I don't want a little flock. Amen. I want full-grown flock. And I want it to be covering all the hills all around, and I want to take my city through matured Christians. I believe the assignment of the pastor and the teacher is to raise the people up that they can go take the city themselves. Amen. We're to equip the body for service and ministry. I believe we should be teaching the body of Christ how to find out what their calling is and what they need to develop themselves to move into that calling themselves. The teacher in the body of Christ equips the saints to accomplish what God has told them to do. Amen. The teacher is supposed to give their people a full-rounded understanding of the Word of God. There are the gifts of teaching in the church. There's also the motivational gift of teaching in the church. If you have the motivational gift of teaching, you're going to teach somebody something. But just because you're a teacher doesn't mean you have that motivational gift of teaching. It's kind of different. The prophetic. If you are called to be a prophet in the body, you will have the prophetic motivational gifting. But only 6% of all people, of all Christians, have the motivational gift of teacher. It's the rarest of all the motivational gifts. That and giving are tied for 6%. There are twice as many people with prophetic personalities in the motivational gifts as there are teacher giftings. Therefore, not everybody that teaches in the body of Christ may not have that motivational gifting. But they're assigned still to become effective teachers of the Word of God. But when you get someone that has that motivational gift of teaching and they're called to teach, now you've got somebody that wants to impart every bit of understanding of the Word they can to their people. If you have a pastor that is evangelistic, but he's assigned to teach, as he would be, then he's going to really focus on getting his people understanding of how to bring in the harvest. because that's his motivational gifting. He's looking at how to bring in that harvest. If you have a pastor that is maybe prophetically oriented, like Pastor Philip would be, then he's going to be looking at how to accomplish end-time events or end-result accomplishment or assignments on the church. Amen. The apostle that is also a teacher, he's focused on majorly equipping his people to step into their high callings. Why? So they can be sent out and accomplish the high call of God on that church. The teacher, he wants his people to know everything. Those that have the motivational gift of teaching, and when I take the motivational gifts testing, that Pastor Jim scores so high in instigation, and I'm told zero on a couple of others, I score almost off the chart in teacher. That is my motivational gifting as teacher. And the motivational gift of the teacher wants to know everything about everything. My biggest challenge in life is to know what I want to study next. And now I'm called to study the Word of God. But do I want to know all the King James? Or should I spend 6 hours in the Message Bible? Or should I go to my topical Bible and read it? Or should I go to Strong's and study that? Do I want to learn the Greek? Well, I want to learn Hebrew too. But it'd help if I knew Latin to know both of those. And so it's like, what do I study? Then he picks up a book on, quantum physics. There's a good example. I started reading a book on quantum physics many years ago. And I'm thinking, this has spiritual application. So then I want to learn everything I can about quantum physics and how it applies to that. Then I read about American history. How does this apply to the spiritual awakenings? And the teacher wants to know everything he can about everything. And he wants everybody to know it as well. One of the dangers about hanging around a teacher is it'll almost bore you to tears. It would never happen in my life. I've learned to temper the gift. They tend to be know-it-alls, and they think you need to know all that they know. And so no matter what subject it is, they have something to put in on it, and that they think if you don't know that, you're missing out on life. So when you've got a pastor that is a teacher, you can assure he's going to have plenty of examples through history, through literature, or whatever, to help relate the Word of God to you. But he wants you to know the whole Word. It's not going to be his pet doctrine. He wants you to know everything about the Scripture that is in there. And so the teacher's assignment is to bring you up in the fullness of the understanding of Christ, but they want you to know everything. Everything about the Bible that's there to be known, they want you to have full understanding of it. They're to develop faith in the saints. Each one of our pastors is assigned to teach faith. Each one of us is assigned to teach you how to build your own faith, how to use your own faith, and to live by faith. And it requires a teaching gifting on us to do that. Amen? Teaching allows the Word to penetrate your heart, to bring forth growth, to change your life. Amen. I'm so glad that when God connected me with Apostle Callahan, he brought me a teacher. I was hungry for teaching when I got saved. When I first was saved, I realized if God was real, then He could certainly write a book He could protect and tell us about Himself in this book. And I hungered to understand this book. So I started reading it. I remember starting in the Old Testament. I read the entire Old Testament. I don't know how long it took me, probably a few months. I'd go home and I'd devour it for hours. I remember reading the entire Old Testament, and all I understood was like one verse out of Isaiah. I didn't understand a thing. And so I started seeking people to tell me, what does this book mean? And so I'd go to the pastor of the church maybe I was attending, and I'd ask questions, and he'd say, well, you know, we're really not concerned about that. That book of Revelation, end times or whatever, or we don't know what those old prophets meant. And I'm going like, it's got to have meaning. I remember finally, before I met Pastor Callahan, we went to a church and there was an older gentleman there who was a teacher himself. And I started asking him questions and he would answer them. He'd invite me over and we'd spend hours together talking about the Word of God, and he was imparting to me understanding. And it was like fueling me to go further and to understand more of the Word of God. But still, I'd go to church, and every time I go to church, it was the same message. You need to know Jesus. You need to get saved, and you must be born again. Amen. I don't know how many altar calls I answered, because I always found something else I felt like I'd done wrong that week, and I'd have to go back to the front again. And then in 1987, we got invited to another church. And we had been there a week or so, and they brought in a new pastor trying out, Pastor Callahan. He got behind the pulpit and started unveiling the Word of God. My wife and I looked at each other and says, finally somebody that can teach us. And we knew we'd found home. We didn't know about the apostolic calling. We didn't know about anything. We didn't know there was such thing as a prophetic anointing. All we knew, there was a Word there that had the mysteries of God hidden in it that we needed to know. We found somebody to unveil them to us. The teacher is the one that's going to change your life to answer the questions that have been plaguing you. I shouldn't say plaguing. That have been troubling you. Can I say troubling? That if you had the questions you've had for years, and God's going to use him to bring you the answers. Amen? And provide you full, totally rounded understanding of the Word of God to let you step into your calling. The teacher brings you into your fullness. The teacher is to teach the principles of the kingdom of God. To teach how faith operates. To teach the principles of sowing and reaping. To teach you how to live as an overcomer. We have been raised up our whole lives in this natural world. Amen. Learning how to function with the five senses as our guide. How to protect ourselves and develop our own hedge of protection around our lives. And when you get saved, God says, I've got a higher kingdom for you to operate out of. I need you to have your mind renewed to think spiritually, that you can function out of spiritual power, out of the kingdom's principles, versus living out of the world system. And again, the teacher's assignment is to take you to that place. Without a teacher, you can't go there. Without teaching, you can't go there. Amen. And the teacher, I'm convinced, as I said, 80% of finishing a house, 80% of a house's construction is in the finished work. 80% of us going into our calling and fulfilling God's assignment is in receiving teaching. Amen. Pastor Jim said that he lives by MP3. From the time I got saved, I lived on Bible messages. What tapes can I get? Later, what CDs can I get? Now, what MP3s or downloads can I get? I live off of teaching of the Word of God. I've never been real big on Christian music. I'm not against it. It was just a waste of my time. There was information out there I could gather. I'm trying to tell you how the mind of the teacher works. And so what I would do is, I might use music to pray to, I might use music to worship God to, but 90% of my time was under the influence of the teaching of the Word. Why? Because through that there is information or knowledge imparted to take me to the next level. Pastor Jim talked about too many times we get lazy in our Christianity. Now I'm for praising God at home. I'm for praise and worship. Are you following me? Praise God. I'm telling you what, if you learn to praise God, there's not a devil in hell that can stay on your head. Amen. If anxiety or fear or oppression tries to hit me, I just start worshiping God. Put the music on loud. I don't put it on Pastor Rebecca level, but I put it on loud. If you find some like ceiling tile dust around you, that's where she's been here playing music. And I'll glorify God until the oppression lifts. But primarily I'm focused on receiving the Word. So many people in the body of Christ are spiritually lazy. And they want to replace bringing in the Word with just playing music. Amen. You know, Pastor Jim as well mentions us being lazy as well regarding our spiritual development. So many times we'll want to put in a CD or play an MP3 versus open the Bible ourselves and say, God, you show me something. We're too often too willing to feed off of other people's revelation or other people's witness. But I believe you really don't grow fully until you get in the Word and you say, okay, God, now you speak to me personally out of your Word. Amen. So we got to be those that make sure we bring in Word inputs and then we get in the Word and let God speak to us personally. And the teacher also instructs us how to hear the voice of God. Amen. So many ministers want to be the voice of God to the body. Let me restate that. So many want to be God's representative, where if you want to hear God, you need to hear me. But the true man or woman of God with the heart of God wants to teach people to hear God themselves. Now, they expect when you're hearing them that you know that God's speaking to you. But they want you to know they're just a source of hearing God, that your primary source should be able to walk with God and be led by the Spirit yourself. Amen. And so the teacher is to teach people how to recognize the voice of God. Amen. And how to follow through and obey that voice. We're to teach how to be victorious over the attacks of the devil. How to work the Word and apply the Word and speak the Word so that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You know, the true heart of a pastor hates to see his sheep taken out or attacked. He hates to see his sheep hurting. And a God-assigned, God-anointed pastor will teach his sheep how to live above those attacks. You know, Pastor Jim as well kept speaking about how sickness can't live in his body. Well, to me, it's not enough. And I know with him, it's not either. It's not enough that sickness can't live in my body. I don't want sickness living in anybody's body in my church. When I was in Ghana, again, over the past couple weeks, those churches recognize the power of God. But they're very big into impartation. Pastor, will you pray for me? Pastor, will you bless me? They're very big into the big revivalists coming through and releasing an impartation to the church. But by and large, the people themselves aren't learning to overcome themselves. They've got to come to the man or woman of God to release something to them. Well, I believe God wants to raise up a body of Christ that doesn't have to run to the pastor. They can run to the Word and access the power themselves. And our job as end-time Bible teacher is to teach the body individually to overcome by their own faith. Amen? I was only there a few days, and I was watching programming. Almost all their television is Christian programming. Probably 60% or more of their television is Christian programming. And I'm talking about power program. I'm not talking about the stuff we're used to where they're explaining away the power. They're talking about the power of God. Every program. And that place has got revival moving through it. And I'm speaking to the different pastors. And I'm hearing them talk about impartation. And as I'm meditating that, God showed it to me in the Spirit. He said, they're believing for me to pour into them something, but because they've not had the teaching of the Word to tell them how to use their faith, they're like a vessel full of holes and it all just flows right back out again. The teaching of the Word lets you contain and hold the impartation. So when the prophet comes along, or the apostle or the evangelist, to pray for you for some big new anointing or some new impartation, you now know how to hold on to that by faith. How to war over the prophecies by faith. How to go into your calling by faith. Teaching finishes us. The other gifts will get us under roof. But until we step into the teaching, nothing ever gets finished. And if we look out over America, now I'm not talking about this ministry. This is a finished ministry. I mean, we're finishing things. But you look out at the state of most of the charismatic church in America, if you could see in the spirit, they would look like buildings with a roof on it, maybe a few walls up, but nothing's finished on the inside. And God is bringing to the forefront in these end times the gifting of the teacher. And I believe this ministry's birth was founded on the gifting of the teacher. And our apostle was a teacher long before he was ever an apostle. Amen? Because that's the foundation that builds us and takes us into our fullness. Amen? The teacher's assignment also is to fill in the blanks where there's been a prophetic declaration or even an apostolic assignment. I remember when I was in Frankfurt working with Pastor Philip, he'd come behind the pulpit and he'd make some prophetic declaration. Here's what the Word says. Here's the direction we're going. And then my assignment as a teacher would be to come behind and say, now here's all the verses that deal with that. Here's how these verses tie together, they intertwine. Here's how we can step into it and facilitate that. He would see beyond and call us into it. And then my job as a teacher would be to go in and fill in all the blanks that weren't, how can I say, set forth through the prophetic. Well, regardless of the gifting on our teachers, when God calls us to something, there'll be a necessity to teach the Word to fill in all the blanks. How do we actually do this? You know, it's kind of like, again, building that house. You may say, we want the house there. We want it to look like this. We want the living room here, the bedrooms here, and turn this direction. But unless somebody actually knows the nuts and bolts of how to use a saw and a tape measure and all the little intricacies of building a house, it'll never be done right. Amen. And the teacher has a responsibility where there's a vision that's set forth, where something has been birthed or started. He has a responsibility then to go in and finish laying out all the details of how to accomplish that. Now again, I keep saying the teacher has a responsibility. With most of our pastors, they're not just an evangelist or a prophet, they're also a teacher. So God will give them something to thrust into, and then he'll be assigned as well to take in how to fill in all those blanks. Did you follow that? But the teaching gift unveils the Word to us to accomplish God's high call for our lives. Amen. The teacher also, as a role in the body of Christ, has a responsibility to test the prophetic and see if it lines up spiritually. There are so many prophets that are floating around. Again, not talking about our ministry. I'm talking about in the body of Christ. So many prophets floating around are saying crazy things that the teacher will check against Scripture. One aspect of the motivational gift of teaching is they will guard the veracity or the truthfulness or the accuracy of scriptural interpretation above all else. The number one thing that will aggravate a teacher in the body of Christ, somebody with that motivational gift, is someone to twist the Word to meet a message that they're bringing forth. They wanted to see the Word in context, accurately portrayed, accurately interpreted. And most Bible teachers, if not all, will go into the Greek, they'll go into the Hebrew, they'll make sure they've double-checked everything before they ever release it to make sure they're not releasing something untrue to the body of Christ. So the teacher in the body also becomes the guardian of scriptural interpretation and accuracy in what message is being released. That's something else that really blessed me in this trip. I'm halfway around the world. Well, not that far, but a long ways away. In a whole other continent. And yet all their churches that I went to had virtually the same revelation of Scriptures we do. Following the same Holy Spirit. Much of their structure, their services were the same. And there was really nothing they were teaching out of alignment with what we're teaching. Now, I'm not talking about the head commentaries. I'm talking about the upfront leading edge stuff we're doing. Much of it they were doing. Praying the Holy Ghost ahead of services. Understanding that without intercession, nothing's happening in the body of Christ. Divine order in their churches beyond anything I've ever seen in America. In a repetitive fashion. Every church I went to was in extreme divine order. Extreme honor and recognition of the spiritual giftings to the church. Same Holy Spirit that instructs us in revival is instructing them in revival. Amen? And the teacher is the one to make sure that nothing gets out of alignment. It would be like you're building the house and the apostle says, build it there. And the prophet says, yeah, we need it to look like this. And the other gifting is going in and say, yes, and throw a wall up there and throw a wall up there. And the teacher's coming to behind with a tape measure and a level. He's inspecting everything and saying, nope, you're a little bit, you're a half a bubble off plumb here. That has kind of a dual meaning. You need to adjust your doctrine or adjust your building to line up to the Word. What you're saying here is not scriptural. In this ministry, if we were to view our doctrines over the past 20 years, we would find that there were things that we at one time proclaimed or things we one time believed that once we lined up to Scripture, we readjusted so God could keep us exactly on course. And that is one of the roles of the teacher, is to get in Scripture and find it. Is this really what the Word of God says? One of our assignments in the body of Christ is to kill the religious cows. You know what I mean, right? That would be the doctrines the church has proclaimed for years that we have found it aren't scriptural. And the teacher is going to be the primary one to discover those things that are out of plumb. Or the teaching gifting on our pastors is really what I'm talking about. Is they're going to get in the Word under the role of the teaching anointings, and they're going to see things in Scripture God's going to show them, and they're going to say, this is what the Word is really saying. Time to butcher another heifer. Amen. Let it go. Let's build on the true revelation of the Word of God. And so the teacher has that assignment as well. We're to renew their minds spiritually, and we're to teach the people how to speak. Turn over to Deuteronomy. Chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I think this is the right verse. Yeah. And let's go to verse number 1. It says, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them. Here God says we're to be taught His statutes and His judgments. The teacher teaches the Word of God and teaches the ways of God. It says that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. That you may go in and possess the land that God gave you. Over 20 years ago, God gave me a vision of Him raising up cities of glory in the end times. And He told me wherever people would intercede, they'd learn covenant, learn righteousness, learn the authority, He was going to raise up cities of glory in these end times. But He says here, you cannot go in and possess the land. Which is what's going to happen with the city of glory. We're going to possess the city. We're not going to have a nice big church, just a nice big church with, a lot of members coming in having fun. We're going to possess the cities. But it says you don't possess without teaching. When I went to Ghana again, I keep referring to that because I just came back. In the time I was there, and right after the time I've just left, in that city, a city of 3 million people, Reinhard Bonnke came in. Paula White's coming in. Richard Roberts coming in. Matt Murdock's coming in. And a whole bunch of other area or European revivalists. I don't even know who they are. For impartations. And the Lord showed me, He says, here's a place that are experiencing a spiritual awakening. They've got these major men and women coming in, but yet here they are still under major poverty. Their government structure is out of whack. It's like almost there's a curse on the land. And I started seeing they're getting names coming in to impart, but nobody is teaching the people, for the most part, how to step into possessing and how to overcoming individually, so you have a body come in and actually take over the city. They've got the numbers to do it. It said 95% of people in Ghana go to church, Christian church. They've got the numbers, but they don't have the application. There's a breakdown somewhere between just being saved and going into possess. And I believe that breakdown would be in the lacking of the teaching of how to live by faith and activate the power of God in your life. Amen. The teacher takes us from just being assigned to finishing the work and actually possessing. Are you getting anything out of this? Call of God to overcome. Now again this morning as I was meditating this, I started looking at some different kinds of churches that I see in America today where there's an imbalance. And we talked about five giftings, and I believe it's possible to have a church founded on any one of the giftings. And without the teaching being in place, you can have an imbalanced church. Now I believe a healthy church is going to have all five giftings. But there are many people that have maybe a primary calling on their life or believe they do, and they start a church or start a ministry, and they never bring in the teaching gift, and so they become ineffective in fulfilling a true or genuine call of God. One would be maybe you've got a church that's founded by... Now, understand in our ministry, this isn't true. We've been raised up by Pastor Callahan to be rounded, accessing every area of the fivefold intermission. What did I say? I heard that. Yeah. I got you. To access all the giftings. Now see, personally, my motivational gifts as a teacher. And actually, I rate very highly in the prophetic as well. I rate very low in evangelistic activity. I'm not a born evangelist. In fact, if you read the studies on the giftings, you'll find that most teachers are very poor evangelists. Because of the geeky nature of them, they're not conversationalists. I mean, it's basically what it is. Boring. They're not socially conversive easily. Amen. They want to talk about math and algebra and stuff, you know, pictures, and they all go, I'm just so proud you guys have stayed through this session. Versus the natural evangelist can speak to anybody. I mean, you can spot them. You go to the grocery store, the natural evangelist is the one that's talking to the cashier and the cashier beside them in the grocery bagger, and the teacher's over going saying, I wonder what all this adds up to. They know what the bill's going to be before they even add the tax. They know what the final number's going to be. And they don't want to talk to anybody. So I understand I am not an evangelistic type person. I can hand out tracts. I can do Romans Road. Amen. And if anointing of love comes on me, I can even see people coming to the kingdom. And so I know that's not my number one gifting. So what do? I call Pastor Lee. Pastor Lee, teach my people to evangelize. Come and teach evangelists at my church. Come to my city. Bring that gifting over here. Because I know there's a lacking in my gifting that he has. And I know each of us have different giftings we can call upon if necessary. And so in our ministry, I believe we remain physically trim, yet well-rounded in our understanding of the fivefold ministry. Amen. And for the most part, there's much less of us now than there used to be. But it's possible in many churches, in fact, I've seen it in many churches, to have a church out of balance. For example, with a church that maybe is apostolic, somebody believes they've got an apostolic calling. Their number one focus is how many churches can I start and how quick can I start them. So when they're teaching their Bible or not even teaching, when they're preaching, they're trying to find people that maybe have a calling they can use to set up as a pastor. And they're so excited to have a new church, so they start putting people in pastoral positions all over, and you end up with a baby trying to teach babies or pastor babies, and you might say, well, I'm an apostle of this many churches, but it's just absolutely a spiritual mess. An apostle that has the gift of teaching, pastoring on his life will not even consider releasing somebody until they know they're ready for that calling, so that they're much less likely to fail in that calling. So a church with an apostolic imbalance may have a huge ministry of all these network churches, yet no power in that ministry. Teaching lets us bring the power with us as we expand. The message on the apostolic church is repeatedly, we must go into all the world. You know, Jesus, when he sent the disciples out, he said, take nothing with you. And I believe that's the condition most pastors are sent out when they're sent out through these kind of churches, is they've got nothing they can take with them. No anointing, no knowledge, just an assignment to go to a city and start a church. Teacher equips us to take something with us. Then there's the prophetic church that gets out of balance. The prophetic church that gets out of balance, the prophetic pastor sees out in the future and says, this is what that God's taken us into. Here's what God has in mind. And so they always live for the future. They never learn how to overcome today. For example, we have a lot of Christians that live that way regarding the rapture. If I can just hold on till the rapture gets here, then I'll be okay. Some are believing God for this mighty outpouring of glory. The prophetic pastor may say, and again, not talking about our ministry, but he may say, yes, God's bringing a mighty outpouring of glory. He's bringing a great move on the earth. And so his people are just waiting for this great move. Someday when the glory hits me, someday when the power's poured out, then we'll live in this fashion. We'll have all this, this power. Not realizing it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the teacher's responsibility is to bring that glory out of you through teaching how to function in the principles of the kingdom of God. So with a prophetic church alone without teaching, they never grow in so they can even fulfill that calling. The prophet sees it, but he never knows how to get the people prepared to step into it. Amen. I'm telling you, God has done a special thing in this ministry that all of our pastors teach. All of them. And it's mandatory we learn to do that. And I couldn't tell you how many churches I've been to before I came to this ministry, and some I've visited since, that the pastor does not know how to teach. Does not know how to teach. I went to a church for a couple years before I came to be with Pastor Callahan. The pastor was an evangelist. And every message was, you need to get saved, as I mentioned a while ago. Every message was about sin. You need to repent. You must be born again. And here I'm going week after week to the same message. And nobody was growing. Everybody was a spiritually ignorant. 2 years after I came in, as when I came in 2 years later, we never learned. I can tell you the truth. We never learned a single principle of the Word. We never learned a single area of understanding of the Word. It was always, you must be saved. Here are the sins of the world. here's what you got to do. They would believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They would believe that that the Spirit of God can move and you can be healed. I saw miracles in that church. They'd bring the evangelist through. He'd pray for people. They might, receive a major miracle. But we were never taught how to move out in that. I don't believe there was a single time in 2 years we were even told of the 9 spiritual gifts. Not a single time. We were just told God heals sometimes. Sometimes He doesn't. Let's get the evangelist in here. And nobody was ever changed. That's a church that's evangelistically imbalanced. It's all about bringing in a harvest, but nobody's focused on raising up the harvest. Then you get the church that's pastorally imbalanced. How could you have a church that's pastorally imbalanced? The pastor is so focused. See, a pastor's heart is to love the people. A pastor, a true pastor, loves his people. And a true pastor doesn't like to even stretch his people. I don't like it. I don't like to have to tell my people you need to sow or tithe. Now follow me on this. I don't like having to put them in an uncomfortable position. For one, they may not like me, and two, they may leave. And a pastor wants his people to like him or her. Amen. Especially the hymns. We want the people to stay. But we know if we're going to raise them up in the place they've got to be, there's got to be a stretch take place. There's no birthing without a stretch. So we've got to bring them a word that takes their soul from operating in the natural realm to operating in the spiritual. We say, you got to tithe, you got to sow, you got to stretch, you got to fast, you got to learn to pray and whatever. Amen. Knowing people will leave. A church that becomes pastorally imbalanced is a church that has a church where the man has a pastor's heart but will not teach the word because he's afraid he'll overstretch the people. And he can build a mega church of all babies. In fact, I believe the vast majority of mega churches in America are pastorally imbalanced. To the point, don't even talk about being baptized in the Spirit because we'll lose 3/4 of the congregation just from that. And so there's no teaching of the Word to raise people up that will stretch their souls to take them into their fullness. No finishing work being done. And you've got a dead church. I wouldn't have looked very far to see some of those around. Amen. But a healthy church has teaching in it. And they focus on teaching. And I believe 80% plus of the activity from that pulpit will be oriented toward teaching. Again, this is what blesses me about Pastor Callahan, Apostle Callahan. You go to his church, he's teaching. The preach can hit him. The evangelist can hit him, but he's almost always teaching. And he's gone through the book of Romans now 403 times since I've known him. That's right, 5 years at a time. You are now 2,000 years old, same as Christ. Why? Because he wants us to understand the entire word in context to make us fully developed. And that's what the teacher is. He's after the people being fully developed. Well, Pastor Jack, is it possible to have a church that's teacher imbalanced? Of course not. No. Actually, there is. You can have a church that's teacher imbalanced. With a church that's teacher imbalanced, they may never begin any new works. They're happy just learning new information. They're a congregation full of knowledge, but they never step out. In fact, a danger with people that are teachers is they're so busy filling the file cabinet of spiritual understanding and knowledge, they never use any of it. Amen. It's like they are collecting tools, but they don't want to get any of them rusty or, greasy. So they stay on the wall in their nice little place with a design rode around the ranch where that's my wrench. But I wouldn't think of using it because it could get damaged. It would mess up my collection of tools. And so a teacher in Balanced Church, they may never stretch. They may never move out into actually ministry. They're too busy just learning. So they can say, I understand have all knowledge and understanding. They may never step into destiny. Especially may never step out and save the lost. Amen. Why? Because the nature of that teacher pastor may not be evangelistic. So he does not know how to step in and teach his people to be evangelistic. No work gets done within the church. Oh, here's another one. See, the facilitating pastor has the ability to get people to do stuff in the church. He'll lay out what needs to be done and he'll know who to assign it to or just how to present it in a way people want to do it. But the teacher, if he can wake the people up from his sermon, you may not even be concerned about who's doing what. The only thing important is that they get the information and a functioning body is never built, never developed. And so many times in knowledge-based churches, they think that information is the bottom line or the bottom goal. No, teaching is to release information to equip us to do the work of the ministry. Not just to be fat, dumb, and hump, happy, having all understanding of all the revelation of the Word. Amen? So teaching can be out of balance as well. But understand, if you have a church without teaching in it, you're automatically going to have an imbalanced church. And probably a church full of babies. So I'm so glad that God has brought into this ministry all the pastors have learned the importance and necessity of teaching. Amen? Because we all know that it's the most important gift. Did you get anything out of this?
Amen.
Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this day so far, and you continue just imparting to us and changing us by your word. And we thank you, Father, that you're raising up through these ministries, through this church, a move that's going to change the earth. Raise up cities of glory and possess the land. We thank you in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen.